Hello, it's Heather from the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast. In association with Geeks Rising, from the 9th to the 16th of March, or 10th to the 17th if you're here in New Zealand, 2019, we are hosting the first 2019 Sunshine Summit. It's a week of live streams with amazing content creators and the theme of celebrating connections. All of the details for the upcoming summit, as well as replays from our previous events and where the live streams will be happening, can be found at sunshinesummit.live. A huge thank you to the patrons of Sunshine and Power Cuts for making that possible. So check it out, and if you know the guests, we'd love for you to come and celebrate with us. And if they are new to you, come along, learn more about them, and we look forward to celebrating connections with you.
This is Ed Annunziata from Play Kimmy, and you're listening to Play Comics.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today I've got Jesse Cooper with us. Jesse, how are you today?
I am doing fine.
That's really good to hear, because I'm excited for this one and everything. But why don't you tell everybody where they can find you around the internet first?
So I have a podcast that is more related to this one called Alphabet Flight, where I do thrice weekly episodes about individual characters or groups in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. They tend to be short form episodes, probably like 25 to 30 minutes. And I don't know when this is coming out, but like I'm going to be hitting like 350 pretty soon on how many characters and groups I covered.
That's impressive. Congratulations.
And I'm probably going to have close to 600 when I'm done, so I'm not even close. I have a 4 almost completely full volumes left.
That's a lot of content waiting to come out.
Yes, it is. It doesn't bother me, except when I think that I'm probably going to be turning 30 but by the time I'm done, which means whatever. I'm not going to get into existential crises
now. That's negative 2 years ago for me.
Well, I'm going to be hitting my late 20s soon when I hit 27. So, you know, started this when I was a young boy of 25.
30 isn't so bad.
I doubt it's just a big chunk of time, you know, it's a big chunk of time for doing one thing. Think of things that cause horror. I also have another podcast called Creepy Critters where I talk about cryptids. I do like a little flash fiction story before each one, and we talk about from the really weird to the very disturbing on that one. So for example, like by the time this comes out, I'll have an episode about cryptids with weird backs, which basically like a monster that eats mostly children, but is a giant coward. Another one would be a woman that just has a mouth on the back of her head that just curses at her and steals all her foods and uses her hair to like slap her and stuff. It's really interesting. I suggest listening to it. That is bi-weekly or fortnightly.
But speaking of existential crises and things that cause horror, we're here today to talk about Garfield.
Oh, so much horror. I would say that I both ironically and unironically love Garfield. I feel like it is a source of endless content. And if you've been on the internet and search up Garfield, it's a thing that a lot of people are obsessed with. Have you ever seen the Junji Ito inspired Garfield strip someone made?
I haven't seen that one.
It's horrifying. So the comic that I'm speaking of, it's basically Garfield basically ate the house, and like John is just kind of peeking around the corner being like, I'm sorry, John, I was hungry. And like you just see Garfield like consuming an entire house.
this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought Garfield minus Garfield was the weirdest thing.
Oh, no, there's also the Garfamon thing where someone drew the entire first generation of Pokemon as if they were, like, a version of Garfield. Actually, no, they drew more than the first generation. And it's also equally terrifying in a way.
Oh, man. So we're going to have tons of pictures in the show notes, and everybody's going to love it. And by show notes, I mean the Twitter feed throughout the week.
Yeah, you have lots to choose from.
This is amazing.
Yeah, so there's so much Garfield content that's not just purely Garfield by Jim Davis or Paws Inc. But yeah, I guess we should actually talk about Garfield and all that spinoffs, though, I guess.
What a way to start, though.
Yeah. As I said, it's an endless source of entertainment.
So in case anybody is somehow unfamiliar with Garfield, but also knows how to use the internet well enough to listen to a podcast, Garfield launched back in June of 1978. So it is decidedly older than me. And it's just the story of John and his cat Garfield kind of doing their life things.
Yep. It's not particularly funny in almost any way. It's very odd that something like Garfield has lasted for so long, and it just prints money. Like, one of the things that's kind of odd is, like, there was a Garfield streetwear, like, line launched, like, last year. Like, why would that be done, like, this year? Like, Garfield is such a ridiculous thing to, like, last for that long. I don't know. I feel like I need to know your opinions of it, because I have too many opinions about Garfield.
Garfield was one of the first comics I started reading in the newspaper, mostly because I'd never had to remember really what was going on. So it was really good in that aspect. And it's one of the ones that I kept reading, you know, as long as I actually lived at my parents' house, because they kept having the newspaper and it was there and I'd always read it. So, like, it's not bad enough to stop reading it when you've been reading it consistently for so long like that.
Like, I would almost compare it to something like Dilbert, for whatever reason. Like, as a kid, I loved reading Dilbert. It's not a good comic. It's not even that funny. In fact, it's actually kind of super sexist and stuff. But for some reason, like, almost all the kids I knew loved reading Dilbert. But, like, Garfield was this kind of, like, it feels like it was omnipresent, almost.
Yeah, Dilbert at least kind of has the, you know, this is how an office works. Like, oh, I work in an office. This happened to me. It's kind of funny thing going for it. Garfield has nothing. Like, I have cats, and they don't act like Garfield.
No. Well, my cat's currently off sleeping in front of the radiator, but, like, besides, like, him, like, haranguing me to feed him two times a day, like, after he's fed, he doesn't, he's not, like, I don't know, harassing me and telling me that I'm useless. And that's actually, also, another thing I'd like to point out is, like, we're focusing mostly on, like, Garfield the cat, but the supporting cast of characters also don't make a lot of sense either. Like, John.
He's a complete idiot.
No, he not only is he a complete idiot, he's pathetic to the point where, like, I think he might be, like, depressed or something. Like, he always gets dunked on. He's unlucky in life. And, like, it seems like he's not even the loved one out of his family. Like, if you ever read any of the comic strips where he's visiting his family, that includes, like, Doc Boy and Ma and Pa. Like, they don't seem to even like him that much. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to live an existence as John Arbuckle. Because it's a very sad life. I'm not saying, like, my life is better, but at the same time, like, I don't know if I would be able to deal with being John Arbuckle.
Yeah, I mean, you go to work, and you come home, and there's your cat and your dog that... Your dog loves everybody, and your cat hates everybody. And, I mean, I kind of alluded to the Garfield minus Garfield strips earlier. I mean, if you look at those, it's... Obviously, that's kind of trying to paint things as everybody is depressed, horrible kind of thing. But if you look at those, John just looks really super horrible because he's just standing there talking to himself.
And also, I don't know if this was confirmed or not, but I don't think he actually understands Garfield. I think this is all a, like, it's either him imagining it or him just interacting with this very horrible cat that shows no love, like, ever. Apparently, I'm not the only person who searched this up, because as soon as I put "does John H," it says does John here on Garfield immediately. This is fun. I don't know why I even didn't even think about this. There's a whole Garfield Wikipedia page. It's mentioned in more, it seems like he can, but it's mentioned in more than one strip that John cannot understand Garfield. But later on like the spinoff stuff, like the stuff like Pet Force and whatnot, he can. So I think it may be like if you have like the two different universes where like when Garfield is like doing like spectacular things, he can hear him. But in the strip, he's just a very sad man with a mean cat.
That's just horrible.
Yeah. It's really kind of like a weird, sad comic if you think about it. Also, like, he has this weird relationship with his cat's vet, which I imagine is like his only like real contact with like a woman that seems to want to be around him for more than 5 seconds every once in a while.
My wife tells me that in the comics now they're dating. I haven't actually read Garfield in years, so I trust her on that.
Yeah, I think they are dating now. Well, apparently... Oh, there's also a Garfield wiki. This is a gold mine. But yeah, they are currently dating. Looks like they've been dating for a little bit now.
Well, good. I'm glad he finally found somebody.
Yeah, it's probably still a kind of an abusive relationship.
I mean, there's Odie. Can't forget about Odie.
Yeah, so, like, Odie. Like, it's kind of weird, Garfield's relationship with Odie as well. Because, like, you have... Like, you get kind of conflicting relationships between Garfield and Odie. Sometimes they're, like, best friends. Like, they just get along and they both, like... They both team up to get, like, extra food or something from John, or like they trick him. And other times, like, Garfield is like seems to be straight up trying to kill him.
No, it's definitely the vibe I got from it too.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird, their relationship. Like, I think I'd like it a bit better if like they're like they were friends, but they were friends, but he annoyed Garfield. But sometimes it's just like, cause like he will just straight up just like kick Odie off of things for him existing. It's also a very abusive relationship. This is not a good cat. Let's just say that. He's not a good cat.
No, definitely not. If my cat acted like Garfield does, then it would not be my cat anymore.
Yeah. So, are you aware of any of the other like spinoff stuff, like the picture books, like the shows and stuff?
Definitely the cartoon. I was all over that growing up, like the good traditionally animated one. I know yes. That there's some of the more CG ones later, but I haven't really seen those.
If you get the chance, watch the Pet Force Garfield movie that is animated horribly and has a lot of Uncanny Valley happening. Garfield becomes a superhero in it.
Is that one of those we can barely do 3D graphics ones?
Yeah, and it was made in like 2000, like it was made in the 2000s.
Oh,
so
nice.
There was no, not 2000s. It was made in the 2010s.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, but one of the spinoffs that I was considering doing a podcast about at some point is there was during the 90s, when comics were getting their most mainstream popularity, Jim Davis was just like, hey, let's write a set of novellas where Garfield and friends are superheroes or space superheroes, basically. I don't know if there's like a Pet Force video game.
Not that I'm aware of. I know that there are other Garfield games that are going to be coming up, but yeah. I haven't looked at the full list for a little bit.
If you don't mind, I'm going to grab the book that I actually have, and I'm going to actually read off some of the descriptions.
Have at it.
So they were released by Scalactus, yes, the giant skull-eating celestial. Scalactic, I can't say it. I'm putting an X in there.
We all know what you mean, because yes. I don't think I can say it now either.
I don't know why I keep on putting an X, but this is from Garfield's Pet Force, The Outrageous Origin by Jim Davis. So Garfield turns into Garzooka. He's large and in charge. He's a fearless leader, a fearless and famished leader of Pet Force. He has nerves of steel, a razor-sharp right claw, and an awesome ability to fire gamma-irradiated hairballs, as well as deadly one-liners from his mouth. Then there's Odious, who is Odie, who has a super strength, a slippery slobber, and a super stretchy stung tongue. And, okay, one zap of his lethal wet tongue causes total mental meltdown in anyone he unleashes his on. So lethal means dead, right? I'm not making that up, right?
No, that's definitely what it means.
Okay, so if he's killing people with his zap tongue, of course they would have a total mental meltdown, because they would... their mind would melt to nothing. Then there's Starlina, who is Arlene, which we did not talk about, but it's like kind of like the love interest. It's like a pink tall cat that always wears like lipstick, and like Garfield likes her kind of. I don't have a lot to mention about that. She doesn't seem to show up a lot, but
yeah, she's kind of there when he needs to have a girlfriend and then goes away.
Yeah, well, she perfectly sings a siren song, and anyone who hears her hypnotic song immediately falls into a trance, except for Garzooka. And then there's Abnormal, who we also didn't talk about, is the gray kitten that Garfield also seems to hate, like more than Odie. I think they both team up to basically beat up Normal on multiple occasions.
Either that or mail Normal to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Which is that... until I was like 12, I thought it was a fake place that they made up.
Oh, for a very long time, I thought Libya was a fake place because in Back to the Future, like whatever they were talking about the Libyan terrorists, I thought that you wouldn't just say a real country whenever you make up fake terrorists. I thought you'd always make up fake ones. Fake countries. So for a really long time, I did not think that Libya was real. And but I did thought that Latveria, Dr. Doom's place, was real, because most of places in Marvel are real places. So, like, why would they make up a country?
There you go, comics. Ruining the geography bee for children of everywhere.
I don't know if I just couldn't read. I thought Latvia was actually Latveria for a very long time.
That makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah. So Abnormal has the body temperature of absolute zero, so it could basically, like, freeze people. Also, I thought Normal was a girl for a long time, but it was a boy. It also has a He has a nuke-proof force field to protect himself, as well as other pet members. A Pet Force member is A, and he has Pester Power, which is basically, I don't know, being annoying.
Makes sense.
Then there's Kampuki, who is part computer, part Teddy, who is it's basically just like a really smart teddy bear that floats around. So, yeah, that's a thing that was thought up in the 90s. By Jim Davis.
Because of course it was.
I don't think it was actually written by him. He did do the drawings in here, though. Which actually look good for the most part. like whenever the drawings and stuff outside of the comics are done, like they tend to be pretty well done. Because another one of the spinoff things is they used to do picture books as well, not comics, but like actual picture books for like children that were fully colored and everything and like super detailed. And one of them, and I had one of the horror ones as a kid, where it's like basically like three short stories. I remember being scared of reading one because the one I got as a kid had the last page torn out because I bought it at like a Goodwill. And the last page in that book was a vet ghost with a giant chainsaw chasing down Odie and Garfield.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was just like, I never knew what the end was. But that was the last page of the book. And I was scared for a very long time about it. Also, ghost... Well, I think it was like a TV movie, I want to say. Of like Garfield going to a haunted mansion on Halloween. Does that sound familiar to you?
Kind of.
Yeah. I just remember the ghosts on there being very scary. Yeah. Garfield is an endless source of entertainment. Also, apparently the person who did Garfamon has a podcast out called Questions About Garfield. I just found that and downloaded them. They're very short episodes. There's four of them out. And yeah. That's the thing. I'm pretty much done talking about Garfield in the comics now. I don't know. There's so much to talk about, but yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll drop some promos for a few other shows and then come back and talk about the game.
If you like video games, debates, and silly banter, you'll love Gamerheads Podcast.
Outside of your store, because I do feel like your store knows its identity. I do. I think that you guys know what you are. No?
Not always.
Really?
It sells fidget spinners.
Well.
Not anymore.
I mean, for a while.
Not
I mean,
anymore,
you're
Matt.
Experimenting
not
with
anymore.
Our...
That's what I'm saying, though. You were just experimenting.
Golf was made by a Japanese guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Iwata.
Yeah.
Begin. Oh, the game.
Yeah, not the
okay.
sport.
Yeah.
Okay, I was yeah. like, huh.
Well, speaking of Nintendo.
Follow Gamerheads on Podbean at gamerheadspodcast.podbean.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Tyler.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Better Than Static. We meet up once a week and talk about movies, comics, and video games.
I don't want to talk about that.
What? Why? Why are you complaining about all the topics I bring up? I'm trying to sound professional, Chris.
But we're not that good.
We are too good.
We may not be great, but we are better than static.
You guys can hit up iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and YouTube to check us out.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So, Jesse, this game, what the hell?
Yeah, so... This could have just been like one level over and over again. Like, you all do the same. It's basically just like a basic like licensed platformer.
Yeah, there is nothing really special about this game at all.
Yeah, I do want to say though that the I think the animation in it is it's first off it's a little over animated. But the animations for, like, the sprites and stuff, the Garfield-related sprites, tend to actually be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing about this game easily is how good everything looks.
Yeah, it's a very good-looking game, except in a few spots. But I guess we should probably go through its plot, right? Do you want?
Yeah.
It's barely a plot.
Because it'll take us, like, 2 seconds. Yeah. Garfield and Odie are sitting around watching TV. And they break it, as pets do. So yes. They try to fix the TV. And of course, there's all kinds of extra parts because they're not very good at it and don't have thumbs and all that fun stuff. And then it gets crazy.
Yeah, like they basically, like, the leftover parts turn into, like, this, like, bug alien robot.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know how they come together at all. Garfield's just sitting there throwing the extra parts behind a chair, and they somehow come together, probably through the power of static electricity, because this is the 90s, and why not? And it just turns into this monster called Glitch. Glitch transports Garfield into the TV, and now he has to go through all these different levels. And I do really appreciate how they set that up, because that does mean you can have whatever crazy kind of 90s game levels you want.
When we say it's kind of a nothing game, it's perfectly playable. It's a competent game. It's just like you can, like, these games are kind of pumped out by both Nintendo and Sega like a dime a dozen. Like, they pretty much have the same template. You have a couple of collectibles. You have a couple of game verbs. Like, it's mostly like you can attack and jump mostly, and also like swing across like vines and whatnot, or whatever the vines or overhead stuff is for the level. But it's basically like five levels that you pretty much just have to find the remote. Like, it doesn't seem like you have to do... Did you have to do a lot of collection? Like, I know if you collected, like, paws or something, enough, like, coins or paws or whatever the equivalent for the... Or fish bones, depending on what type of pastiche you're in, you got, like, you know, lives. And, like, the boss fights were decent, I'd say.
Yeah, but there's nothing about this game that's really, like, has to be Garfield.
No, you can put anyone in here. But I think if you didn't have Garfield in it, you wouldn't have had as good a sprite work. Because apparently the sprite work was actually, like, drawn, and, like, all the animation was actually drawn by people at Paws Inc., who is the people who make Garfield. They're like Jim Davis and Paws Inc. artists, which they actually attribute very prominently all the artists that works on it, which is another thing that I do appreciate. They do a lot of good, all the stuff you see on the screen, here's the people, and like they do it in a way that, you know, gives everyone a few seconds and by themselves, which is something you don't always see. But then there's like two mini games in between each level. There's a commercial break where basically you're Garfield like flying and you have to collect Pookies, which is his teddy bear. And then there is that whack-a-mole game where you have to hit everything but like one character.
Yeah, and it'll switch up which character you're not supposed to hit, so you can't just sit there and be, you know, don't hit Odie the whole time.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, it's a very competent game. Like, a very competent game. But, like, in an era where there was lots of competent games, you kind of need to stand out.
And this game was made and published by Sega as well. So you'd expect this to be a well-done game, to have it look good, even on top of having the actual Garfield artists working on it.
Yeah, essentially this was like a first party Sega game. They just borrowed the license, basically, for it. Or not borrowed, I guess it was. But yeah, it is definitely one of those games that I did play as a kid. I do distinctly remember playing as a kid this game. I don't think I ever got super far into it because I was never good at like platformers when I was a kid. But yeah, did you ever play it?
I didn't play it as a kid, but I have found it out at the flea market, and right when I was starting to get the idea for the podcast going, I ran across somebody that had it. So, you know, a couple bucks, I bought it. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not horrible. It's never going to be, you know, the best game ever made or anything, but it's definitely nowhere near the bottom either, which is kind of a little bit the problem with it, I think, because if it was worse, you could make fun of more things and play it because it's horrible. And if it was better, you'd play it because it's really, really good.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think that's, like, if I'm honest, I think that's kind of a problem with a lot of this era's games. Like, there was a lot of, like, really competent, like, mid-level, like, Genesis games that were, like, perfectly fine. But, like, didn't really, you know, rise to the occasion, I guess. While Nintendo was putting out a lot of those games that everyone, like, still talks about and plays and wants to be remade all the time.
It's fitting that it happened with a Garfield game, too, because the comic, I think, is the same way. It's, I mean, it's not bad, but I don't know anybody who likes it and thinks it's their favorite because they think it's the best thing ever made.
Yeah. If anything, it's more like almost a nostalgia thing. Like, for both Genesis, for a lot of Genesis games and for Garfield. Like, to this day, like, I don't think a lot of people would go out on a limb and, like, declare this their favorite thing ever. For either of them, really. For either game or the comic. So, yeah, I wish it kind of, like, I almost wish it was a little worse or a little better.
Yeah, the one thing this game really does have going for it is that Garfield does have a really overactive imagination. So it's not totally out of place that they're going into these crazy locations.
Which I wrote down the level. I wrote down all the levels. So there is a vampire level that looked kind of actually like Ghosts and Goblins. Like how they had a lot of the stuff set up. And I guess he's like Renfield or something like that. Or not Renfield. Who is he? Parker? Never mind. But Odie's basically like Dracula in it. And you're like fighting him at the end. But like, and I forget what he uses for an attack. Do you remember what he uses for the attack?
Like against boss Odie or throughout the rest of the level?
Throughout the rest of the level and the boss Odie.
On boss Odie, he still does his whatever throwing-y thing it is, and I can't remember what it is either, which is part of the problem with the game. It's not really exceptional. But yeah. The main thing you get boss Odie with is that he flies down into his coffin somehow during the fight, and you pull the blinds so that he gets hit by sunlight.
Yeah. Which isn't a bad, like, boss fight. It's just, like, the rest of the level is, like, not hard, not easy. It's just there, pretty much. Like, you just do the platforming. There doesn't seem to be a lot of, like, secrets or anything. At least that I know of.
This is a Garfield game, so you'd imagine that they're thinking a lot of kids are going to play it.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, like, a lot of kids played stuff like, you know, like Sonic, and like that had like complexity and stuff to it.
Yeah. And this game did have a little kiddie mode too, where you'd have arrows pointing out which way you need to go for things.
Yeah, I guess it was more, it feels a lot like a lot of Garfield side stuff. It's kind of like it's competently made. And made pretty much just to make more cash. And that's pretty much it. Like, it doesn't feel like it's shovelware by any means. It's just perfectly competent. And if you like Garfield, you can give more money to Jim Davis by buying this.
Yeah, nobody's going to feel bad if they like Garfield about having this game. That's the main takeaway. There's another level here. It's a pirate-themed level. Where Garfield goes around being a pirate.
But it seems like he's mostly in like a swamp area though.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
It's a little weird. Because it seemed mostly like swamp stuff. And he had like a sword in that one. And I forget who the boss was for this one. Was it Odie again?
I'm pretty sure they're all forms of Odie, or at least most of them.
Except for the Egypt level, which is the last one. That one's a little different. I can't think of who the boss was for the pirate level, which is unfortunate, I guess.
You but think it also speaks to the unremarkableness of the game.
Yeah. And then there was a cave cat level. Well, with cave, well, I put cave cat down, where you're basically a, which actually is, I think, my favorite form of Garfield, because sometimes they do like Garfield at different time periods in both the comics and like the show and stuff. And this is a cave cat where like he's like a fat little saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, that one was really good.
I actually like that level. That level like stuck out. I think that one's the best level. He has like a bone that he hits people with. He's collecting like fish skeletons for like its currency or whatever it is. And it's this giant like dinosaur Odie where like you have to use like a push a rock on a like a seesaw thing, and you jump on it and like you hit him with the rock. Like this one I think is the best level. It has the most like vibrant colors out of it. It seems most theme appropriate. And like, I don't know. I could see myself playing an entire game of like in a set level and level sets like that. Anyway.
Yeah, I think my other favorite level here, at least as far as this is what Garfield might actually do, is Casablanca, the next one. Because you're Garfield being like a 1940s detective guy just going through the level.
And this is the first one, I think, that kind of breaks out of the play loop, I guess, from the first ones. Like, I think there's a little bit more puzzle solving in this one. And, like, the boss seems to be, like, kind of challenging, actually. Because it's basically a... It's like this dog gangster or something, like throwing like stuff at you, and you have to catch the bomb and throw it down a chute that to hit the dude on the different level. Like you're basically on the top of the fence, and you're trying to dodge like all the spiky stuff he's throwing. It's not as memorable as the Dino Odie, but I think it's perfectly competent. Like the rest of this game is. I don't even want to say mediocre. It's just like it's like a step above mediocre because I think the animation is done really well. More than it had to be.
You know, there's the Egypt level, which is exactly like you'd expect an Egypt level to be. There's traps and stuff throughout the level. And your boss here is some sphinxes.
Yeah, it's like a sphinx version of like John. And you have to, like, it's kind of like almost like a Contra-like boss. Like, you have to hit, like, a spot that they have damage. And then, like, another level shows up. And then you have to be like, okay, I have to hit this. And it's, like, shooting, like, balls of energy at you the entire time. And then it kind of ends after this, because like the last level is you have to fight Glitch, and you just fight Glitch.
Yeah, it's a really short game.
Yeah, I think the long play that I watched did to refresh myself. It was like 40 minutes, probably.
Yeah, that's about what I was seeing for it too. There's just not much here to really go in depth with in the game, because I can't imagine that they weren't thinking, we're going to sell this to kids. We want them to get through it a little bit and feel like they're actually accomplishing something.
Which, I mean, there's value in that. Cause like, you know, like sometimes you don't want a super hard game. Sometimes you just want a game you can play. Sometimes you need a game that you can, like, kind of throw at your little brother or tiny child and know that they'll be, you know, they won't be exposed to, like, extreme violence or anything. It's just, it feels like it's a microcosm of, like, Garfield. It's just perfectly done. It's perfectly competent. That's pretty much it.
There's nothing too offensive about it. There's nothing too extraordinary about it. I'm never gonna go wine because I get it in a lot of games, but I'm never gonna cry if I don't get it.
Yeah. And like, which is why I think it's remarkable that, like, the comic that you may hear about, like the one comic that could be deemed offensive, is something that people remember to this day.
Ooh, which one are you talking about?
The one where John just drinks a cup of something on the vet's table, and it's implied that he drank a bunch of dog sperm.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yep, it's something that's remembered forever. To this day, like, I know the exact date that it happened, because it's, like, it's just, it's a blip. It's a very bright blip. But I think we're pretty much done talking about it, right?
Yeah, there's nothing else about the game. It exists.
I do want to mention something, though, which is going to be fun for you and I and your listeners. There is a channel on YouTube called Lasagna Cat.
I feel like I've heard the name.
You should have. So they don't put out a lot of content regularly, but last year they basically put out like 10 new episodes that were like super good and interesting. So basically what they do is they have three people like act out, like in real life, a Garfield strip. So you have a John, an Odie, and a Garfield, and they're all in costume and whatnot. And then what they do is they basically make like a music video or like a skit based off of it later. And it varies a lot what they do afterwards. I could give you an example. Like these are probably like maybe 2 minute long videos at most.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
Like, for example, like, okay, so the example that I sent Chris just now, so it was like one of the many comics where Garfield is trying to attack Odie, and John just kind of shows up, and he's just like, oh, I'm not doing this. I'm scratching the back of my back with this bone I was gonna hit your dog with, and you know, it's kind of whatever, but then like they turn it into like a fake Final Fantasy battle thing. It's weird. It's really weird, and you kind of have to just experience it. But like, I would definitely suggest like maybe linking one or two of them.
Oh, definitely, for your listeners, because this sounds amazing.
It is so weird, and like. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, like, all of it. But, like, it's just these super short videos. It's just, like, they take the absurdity of how boring, like, Garfield is in comic form. And, like, make, like, these really interesting, like, leaps of logic to, like, be transformative. So, yeah.
And so kind of jumping back to other Garfield a little bit, what do you think this game really gets wrong when it comes to looking at Garfield?
I think they don't. Well, there's not a lot of lasagna talk.
That was the thing that really surprised me. Like, if somebody doesn't know anything about Garfield, they know he likes lasagna.
Yeah, no, he loves lasagna. That's like his main thing.
And there's not even like a lasagna in his lap when they're watching TV.
Yeah, like, I think that's like the main thing they got wrong. Also, like, he's a little too active, I think. Like, he's active without, he's active without complaining about it. He seems to be happily just going around, jumping up, like, these giant platforms and beating things.
Yeah, Garfield's a lazy sack of shit.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for him to be doing this.
And also, like, also, not a lot of stuff about sleeping. Not once did he say something about coffee being, like, amazing. Like, you know, you don't have a lot of the Garfield tropes.
We can assume that this didn't happen on a Monday.
Yeah, no, nothing about Mondays. So, yeah, I think what this game got wrong about Garfield was almost everything.
And what do you think this game really gets right?
I do think that the animation and the like the stills and stuff, like they, well, of course it was the artists that draw Garfield, but it looks like Garfield. Like it's very true to the feel. I mean, not the feel, the visual aspect of Garfield. So, like, even in, like, all of his costumes and stuff, like, you can easily see that in, like, some of, like, the Halloween specials or the cartoon.
Yeah, I feel like if you're looking into the Garfield sitting there imagining things character, this hits it really well. But that's not actual Garfield.
No, no. This is more like Garfield and Friends, like the show. Garfield than it is than the comic, I'd say. And this may have been more based off of the show, because this would have been around the time that the show would have been popular.
But I was looking for things and I don't see anything that really even slightly suggests that they were trying to base it on the show as opposed to the comic.
Yeah, well, like yeah, I don't think there is really a lot tying it to the show.
It's just one of those weird, like, everybody knew the show existed, so we kind of have to have it that way, but we're not really basing it on that kind of things, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I do recognize the costumes that is worn. Like, those are things that are definitely in the comic and the show. Like, all the costumes that he was wearing. Like, the noir, the like, actually, you know what this might have been based off of? It might have been based off of the Nine Lives of Garfield. Show
that would make
and
sense.
Comic. Because I think that's where I recognize all the costumes from. There was a comic version of the Nine Lives of Garfield. But I think it was the Emmy-nominated TV movie.
And if that's what it is, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, because like these costumes are all things that I saw before this, like every single one of them. So
finally, if you had somebody who was trying to get into Garfield, would you hand them this game as a little bit of a primer course?
No, I feel like it would be part of a package. Though, like, I feel like just giving them, like, well, I guess just showing them to the website, garfield.com. By the way, don't click that you're a dog when it asks if you are.
No, you totally should click that you're a dog. It's the best.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, I don't think this is a good primer. Like, I don't think it would get you interested in Garfield. Unless you really like mediocre or, like, competent things that don't really rise above being competent.
Well, in which case, congratulations, you're wanting to get into Garfield.
Yeah, which you are.
See, I'm right there with you, especially since the comics are so easily accessible to everybody. I mean, you can go online and find them in daily newspaper things. It's not like you even need to go to some kind of nefarious methods to get to it.
Like, if you wanted to, you can read from the very beginning of Garfield to today and not spend a single cent.
And do it all legally.
And do it all legally, yeah. You can do it all legally. And if you like it that much, you can get it a print of it on a tote bag or a shirt, or just buy the print or put it on a mug for fairly cheap as well. Or you can get a numerous amounts of Garfield-related things for fairly cheap and plentiful. Like, you can get Garfield pet things. You could get Garfield clothing. You can get Garfield... it's just... I don't know if anyone doesn't know about Garfield, because he seems to be ubiquitous. Like, you can get Garfield street clothes, like streetwear clothes.
That's just insane.
I need to show you the Instagram post where they announced it. It was recent. So, like, yeah, Garfield is just kind of everywhere. And, like, if you want a primer for him, like, you have it pretty much anywhere.
Probably the best thing about Garfield is that there aren't super overarching storylines. So, you know, just pick a day and start reading.
Yeah. I mean, you might be confused why, if you go back, you know, from today, John isn't dating Liz anymore. Or isn't dating Liz, but that's pretty much it.
So, Jesse, it was great having you on. Once again, why don't we remind people where they can find you around the internet if they like hearing from you and want to hear more.
Yeah, if you want to hear more from me, you can go to Alphabet Flight on any of your podcatchers. I have a massive backlog of Marvel characters that I talk about in somewhat detail, except for Cyclops, where I hate him and I didn't talk about him that much. There's that. There's also Creepy Critters, which you can also find on all podcatchers. That is fortnightly, so it's not as much of a backlog, but I do put a lot of work in them. So I suggest listening to any random episode of those, and you see if you can like one to listen to the rest.
Spoiler alert, you can find me on some old episodes of Alphabet Flight, and you may or may not be able to find me on some new ones.
Yep, fairly soon.
If you like hearing more from me, you can always go check out Twitter at PlayComicsCast or the Facebook group. Links to both of those will be down in the show notes. Most importantly, the Facebook group, because that name is just really long and I don't even want to ask people to spell that because I know I'd screw it up. If you want to support the show, you can head on over to playcomics.com to the support page. It has links to Patreon or the merch store we have set up, or a few other ways that you can donate if you just don't like Patreon for whatever reason. And if you want to hear me talk about other things that aren't video game related, you can go head on over to meddlingkidspod.com, where my wife and I talk about Scooby-Doo. Plus, if you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, you can head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day and hear Best Day's stuff. It's wonderful music. You should definitely go check it out. But other than that, just go grab a game, grab a stack of comics, find yourself a new favorite character. And it just turns into this monster called Glitch. And Glitch Glitch transports Garfield into the TV, and now he has to go through all these different levels.